My name's Christine, and I am a moderator on the Project Avalon Forum. I'm going to give a brief introduction to one of our Avalon Forum members, somebody who I know personally, who I've become close with over the past 2 years. First became aware of his story through his postings and some private conversations, and I realized during our getting to know each other that his story was profound. I'm struggling a little bit in trying to find the right words to describe the experience that our friend here has had, but let me just do my best at it. We cover so much material, all quite astonishing. His experience as a remote viewer, starting from childhood, interdimensional portal travel, travel that he experienced in advanced spacecraft, and attendance, which is fascinating, at large-scale meetings where ETs were present and the human representatives only played a minor role. He also has direct knowledge of the role of artificial intelligence and the threat that is posted by ET Trojan Horse artificial intelligence infiltration. All of that and more is going to be covered in this astonishing conversation. Sometimes I think for some of us it's hard to see through the layers, not only the layers of ourselves, and in this case what was done to him, but also the layers of our mass consciousness that keep us looking at the outward frame of a being, where the spirit is where the reality really truly lies. It was my honor, my pleasure, my joy to actually be able to be present with him for this first time. He allowed an audio recording to be made of his memories. I just want to say, as you listen to this, that this is the first time he actually was not blocked from speaking. To this day, he's still under quite a bit of electronic and other types of surveillance tricks, traps. But since this audio, some pretty miraculous things have happened. So let this audio be the strength and the courage we all have to be able to speak our truth and let nothing silence us. So here we start this audio. Thank you all very, very much. One more word here. When I say thank you all very, very much, it's because I know there are others listening to this audio who have had similar experiences. And so it is to you that have had the courage to speak your truth that I say thank you.
There's so many different, I wouldn't even know where to begin, you know? I mean, there's the MyLab part, the small portion of the secret space program, the part working in the Federal Reserve, where I was working with those people that were in the Black Sun cult, that were inviting me to the Masonic Lodge that I went to a couple times. I went out on a boat with some of them one time, and they were like telling me all their philosophies and whatnot, and very, very dark people. Mm-hmm. And
But it started for you as a child, right?
Yeah.
Did you have memories of it during your childhood, or was that pretty much erased?
The memories were kind of played with, though, a little bit. Like, mm-hmm. when I would have memories of, this will sound kind of ridiculous, of a pirate ship coming to get me.
Oh.
A flying pirate ship.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like Peter Pan.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of like, you know, yeah. Sounds totally ridiculous.
No, well, I get it.
Those are like the memories that I had.
Right.
You know? So, but that's obviously not what happened, but that's
right.
Like, I don't know if that's, as a child, how I
organized
mm-hmm. the memory, or mm-hmm. if the memory was screened or played with. Later on, when I worked doing things that I'm not very proud of in the other programs, I got to see how screen memories and blank slating people and that kind of stuff works.
Mm-hmm.
And it was done on me quite a bit.
And then you were co-opted into the program through what they was done to you, and then
I was labeled an intuitive empath, which back then they didn't have all these different nice esoteric ways of making you be a good remote viewer or bilocator or that kind of thing. They did it through terrorizing you into having an out-of-body experience, kind of like a lot of rape victims and whatnot report during their attack. They report self-separation, seeing it as a bystander occurring to them, not actually, thing.
Yes. They have the protection mechanism. Do you separate from the body?
Yeah. You know, they had known about that kind of stuff for many years, and they used terror on certain personality types to cause you to have an out-of-body experience.
How do you think you were tapped? I mean, what do you think the process was that got you tapped for this? Because this is something interesting, I think, for a lot of people. That
I come from a really big Navy family. I think some of that had something to do with it. I'm not exactly sure. I think my grandfather knew somewhat was going on. But I think I remember going through a lot of testing.
In school. Through the school system.
Yeah. And,
that's important. I mean, if you don't mind me asking you questions, because I think it's important.
And all the testing, even when I was in elementary school and reading and everything except for math, but in reading and all the, I tested like 4 or 5 grade levels ahead of where I was, but they always put me in like special ed kind of classes. And then they had kind of like an explore program kind of thing, vans that would come and pick us up and take us to other facilities to where we met other kids like us, or they took us out to Karzwar Air Force Base. It's closed down now. It's somewhat closed down. Right. It's still in use. And I have a lot of memories of
Were you made to feel special?
Of course. My dad was a coach. He took on coaching jobs and always... I mean, I remember a lot of the time we were usually within 15 minutes of that base until my mom divorced him and left him and then moved back to this area. And then I started going to elementary school like in the 4th grade or whatever. And then I started doing the testing there. I remember doing testing there. And...
were all the kids taken to the testing, or was it, did they just come in and choose a few kids from a class, or how did that happen, if you can remember that?
I remember them bringing the tests in to the class, and it was like those bubble tests, you know?
Right, you fill up a little...
Yeah, and then
multiple choice
later on, you would be told, oh, you did so well, you know, you know, we'd like you to do more testing. And then this testing would be observed, like a teacher that wasn't from the school that I didn't know would sit there, and it ended up being exactly like what I took later on in high school, like the ASVAB test for military. And on that test, I tested the top 10% in the nation on that. And it was pretty much that.
The abilities they were looking for? Abilities to... intelligence?
Intelligence, cognitive, that kind of thing. They even did the weird things of, which was very odd, of the weird cards with stars on them and different things like that, trying to get you to guess what was on them, playing the whatever object under plastic cups.
Oh, okay.
You know, different things.
Did you ever have eye tests with colors or anything?
Hearing.
And hearing, tones.
To this day, I can hear things way, way off, and I hear a very high, like high pitched noises. I could hear very high pitched noises, and they'd be like, "Wow, you can hear that," and they would be like, "Do it again." You know, I'd lift my right hand, left hand, and I could hear the harem. And they did the eye tests, different things with the thing they put over you with the color stuff. And,
I think it's important to talk about this because, I mean, I've listened to other My Labs and different stories and stuff, and it's like, how are they tracking? How are they finding, what are they using? Are they still doing it today?
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
They categorize, they do it totally different now. It's a lot more sensitive.
The testing or the equipment?
And their treatment. Mm. It's a lot more sensitive the way it's done. And the blank slating is not done chemically anymore.
Okay. So can you talk about those experiences that you went through?
Such as?
Well, how were you blank slated, or what aspect of that, how did that start?
Mostly it was done chemically through, they give you shots.
Okay.
And then give you, they would hypnotic, kind of like when you go through hypnosis.
Mm-hmm.
They would give you shots, and then they would talk to you in a steady voice and put you down into maybe a certain, not theta, but a certain level. And then...
Did you have something on your head that was monitoring your brain waves too?
Yeah. And then they... later on, they could do that with the kind of like piezoelectric kind of things they'd put on your hands or fingers mm-hmm. to monitor.
Right.
Or just on your forehead. Just give you the drugs and then have you discuss what you went through. And then they would... read like they're reading a book, telling you a story, and then show you a movie
mm-hmm.
of like something else, and that would become the screen memory.
Okay.
Overlaid.
Okay. So you would actually be seeing one picture, and then you would be telling a story that was disjointed from that picture.
It occurred in sequence.
Oh, okay. So they were giving you a memory. They were basically...
Yeah, you would give them your... It was also like a debriefing at the same time.
Okay.
You would tell them... It'd be like a debriefing what occurred.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would like, kind of like... they kept it kind of childlike,
right.
You know.
Okay.
Read you a story to make it more... easily ridiculed or silly or kind of, you know,
right.
The other experience. And then you would have a film
mm-hmm.
that you would watch
mm-hmm.
with headphones on
mm-hmm.
that would be your memory or dream.
Right. So they would drug you, put you through some sort of experience, some torturous thing where they were doing things perhaps to you.
Yeah, and then, training after.
Right, training, okay. And then you would debrief whatever happened mm-hmm. to them. You would tell them where you went or what you experienced or did you remote view or whatever. And then they would blank you and then they would give you something to remember.
Yeah. You know, if I can talk about this now without getting all...
Yeah, different, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Before, I couldn't even talk about it.
No. Yeah, I'm just realizing we're having a conversation that we couldn't touch on it before.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the reason, you know, I also feel it's very beneficial for anybody who's been through anything like this to just be able to let it out. And you realize that
not everybody has the same experience.
No, of course not.
Because the major reason for the testing and each individual personality... and personality type, and they break everyone down by, you know, they within the people that were intuitive empaths, there were also you were broken down into different groups
mm-hmm.
as to abilities and probable abilities mm-hmm. and whatnot. So it was a lot bigger than a lot of people. They sent boom. My Lab, boom, Super Soldier, boom, you know, and I see that, and it's kind of ridiculous to me in a way, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of it, but I kind of saw it as more of an adult later on.
Mm-hmm.
It was different for everyone else, and some people had a lot less traumatic experiences being My Labs, and some people had... depending on how stubborn or what type of personalities they had a lot worse.
Mm-hmm.
And they would have kids do stuff to each other, you know, sexually, or beat each other up, or, you know, violently, or whatever.
Did you see those that were doing that? Do you have visuals of who was in the room, who was there? Were these all...
I remember seeing people, the adults, stand around just observing, watching, filming, and taking notes, and the kids just looking constantly back for either approval or direction.
Mm-hmm.
They developed usually the females developed a relationship with the kids, where the kids wanted approval from them,
mm-hmm.
to where they would do whatever they were told, you know, because they wanted approval. If they didn't get approval from them, then in would come one of the more military-ish male figures,
mm-hmm.
that would subject them to one of the more negative things, you know, to where they were on the other side,
mm-hmm.
of what was occurring.
And were you sometimes alone, sometimes in groups, and different scenarios?
The alone stuff was more, never totally alone.
No.
You know, usually it was like one-on-one with an adult or adults,
mm-hmm.
where you're training,
mm-hmm.
you know. A lot of meditation, altered states of consciousness, both chemically induced, mm-hmm. and then self-induced.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it was like LSD type?
Oh, that was definitely...
Yeah.
Yeah, that definitely happened. There was definitely... non-human.
Okay, so you do have...
Yeah, they're definitely non-human.
Can you describe what the beings look like? Was it more than one race? Or?
Yeah, and I don't really like to... When I see people that, like, are eager to talk about reptoids, reptilians, mm-hmm. and these... I don't know why they don't look like mantises to me or whatever, but...
Insectoids, I call them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When people talk about them on the internet, on the forums, mm-hmm. and stuff, like, and they sound like they want to know more or all that. I don't even want to talk about them,
right.
Think, visualize them or anything. Uh-huh. You bring them into your consciousness, you bring yourself into theirs.
Right.
So don't become a beacon.
Uh-huh.
Don't set yourself up as a conscious beacon.
Right.
Because some people have this thing to where they think, well, you know, I have this, I can become this beacon of strength around
or
me.
Or knowledge. Or
some power. You know, people get these self-inflated ego or esoteric ideas that they are special or have some strength or something,
mm-hmm.
or protection or whatever. And some people do have protection, but it's not something to go messing around with. And
right. Well, you saw what they were involved in, and you've had direct experience with it. And, you know, I think what's the part of the thing that's happening kind of in a collective way is many people are having certain experiences, and they have a curiosity. And I guess you would say be very cautious of that curiosity.
Yeah.
And don't believe anything that you think you might be.
Just remember what it did to the cat.
To the what?
The cat.
Curiosity that killed the cat, yeah. Right, for sure.
Yeah.
And where does that statement come from? Well, that's another story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not so, Schrodinger's cat, but...
Yeah, not that one. No, so we have this, you know, if you don't mind, I really feel the story we're telling or the story you're telling is more common than I think a lot, mm-hmm. of people are very aware of. And
yeah.
I don't mean common in the way, but I mean, I know part of the programming is to make the person that's involved in it feel special, chosen. Did you have that programming?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But the vast majority of the people that are involved are just programmed to forget.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The vast majority of the people out there, it's happened to, and they have no freaking idea.
Right. so we have layers and layers of programming.
Yeah.
Basically, sort of like where they've been categorized
and
tested, and then this one gets this, and this one gets this, and this one gets this sort of scenario.
And there's so many different types and reasons. I mean, you know, there's people out there that say, you know, that are like, think this is the most ridiculous thing in the world, and this has happened to them multiple times.
Mm-hmm, sure.
You know?
Probably some of the most adamant against it are the ones that are the most exposed to it, in a way.
Yeah, and some of them are programmed to be against it.
Yeah, exactly.
Huh.
Yeah, and they can't really get out of their own program. So, what do you, for your own assessment, because this is your own assessment of yourself, as you were going through this as a child, and then you went into teenage, and then you went into the military? Did you go into the military? Were you being trained or tapped for that?
No. I was told that I could not go into the military.
Mm.
Told not to. And I didn't remember.
And that was by your family? And
no.
No.
That was by the program.
By the program?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And all I ever wanted to do was go into the Navy like the rest of my family.
Mm.
And when I was 16 years old, I had a knee injury. And you see that huge scar.
Yeah.
It's like a patchwork quilt.
I know.
And the Navy recruiters, because of my testing and all that, they were all over me.
Uh-huh.
And my mom was totally against it. It was very bizarre. She was back in her room crying when the recruiter came to the house. She wouldn't come out. She was crying.
Was this already after she had split up from your father?
Yeah.
Okay.
So my stepdad was Navy.
Okay. So yeah. I'm just picking up here, just for the record, that your mother was put through a lot of stuff, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. She's heavily, and I feel for her a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, I do, too.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the Navy recruiters were all over it. They were ready to... I was ready. As soon as I graduated, I was going in. That was said and done in my mind.
Like officer training? Did you
that's
have,
what I mean, was going. I mean, that's...
Academy. Naval Academy type stuff. Was it?
I was not in ROTC or anything like that in high school. I was kicked out of 7 junior highs and 2 high schools for fighting and stuff. So
was that part of your programming, too?
It's more of just having a shitty life. And a martial arts background to where kids screwed with me, and I didn't have the people skills to talk. You know, someone would come up and poke me in the chest, and I would just throw them on the floor.
Okay.
That's all. I didn't know any other way.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I had a knee issue. I went in, got x-rays, MRI, and went in for routine orthoscopic surgery.
How old were you?
16 or 17.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was 17, actually, because it was after I got back from Haiti there on a church trip, working witness trip.
Okay.
That was a crazy thing.
I was going to say, Haiti is...
It was right, right after their big Civil War thing. Anyway, I wake up and my leg's totally in an immobilizer, and everyone's standing around all sad, except for my mom. And they're like, "We're so sorry. You had 2 dead bones the size of nickels that fell from your femur into your knee and tore up all your cartilage, and they had to do a bone graft from your tibia." And you have 4 screws in there.
So they rebuilt the bone up above your knee?
Up on top.
Uh-huh.
And they had to take almost basically all the cartilage out.
Wow.
And they said that the recruiter had been there earlier and all that. And my mom just could not wait to get out of there. And you're not going to be able to go into the Navy. I'm sorry. And I was just like... And after that, I didn't know what I was going to do with my life.
Right.
But it was, you know... Part of the thing was I was not supposed to go into the military anyway, because part of some of the stuff they do, you go off and you do for a while, and then there is age regression done, and then you're brought back to present time. They can manipulate all that, and they don't want you going into the military and having full recall and all that.
Right.
And
were you sent trained early on as a remote viewer?
Oh yeah.
You were given from the very beginning.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I think, so were you given targets even as a child? Or?
Yeah, and then you would find out what would happen to some of those targets in more of your kind of preteen, early teen years.
Mm-hmm.
And you would be, they would start learning who to start giving targets to and not, because some people would like protect certain targets,
mm-hmm.
not give information on certain targets.
Okay. So you still had enough aspect or some could maintain enough aspect of their own consciousness.
Yeah, because you would know that you were sending, you were targeting some individuals or small groups
mm-hmm.
for termination.
Are you willing to talk about that?
No. But
I have spoken with others, so you know, I understand the devastation of it.
Yeah. Especially as a young.
Sure. No, it's shocking of how
empathic younger person.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is
And one of the things was they're very interested in using us for locating portals.
Like interdimensional portals?
You could call them that, yeah.
Uh-huh. Transfer? Explain that a little more if you can.
Used kind of like in the kind of Stargate SG-4 TV series kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
In the beginning, they found that they could just transport non-living inanimate kind of things like machinery and supplies and that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
And then they developed ways of sending a rail of like a small kind of like train
uh-huh.
that would had seating, hold people, and send that through that was shielded in a certain way.
Hmm. Were these tests they were doing, or where were they taking this?
To bases or colonies.
On different planets.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Were you ever in one of the Stargates?
Yeah.
What were the main... Can you talk about that a bit? Because I think it's coming out. Right?
I have some memories. The one that I remember I went to a couple times, I have memories of. I could almost draw a picture. It's you come out in like a cavern, and there's an opening, like kind of like a grotto, a cavern opening, and outside there's kind of like a purplish sky
mm-hmm.
with there were like a couple of moonish things out, and then there was water, steamy water.
Hmm.
And there were people that were laughing and kind of having R&R out there,
mm-hmm.
just right outside the cave or whatever. And then it went further. Everything was built further inside the mountain or whatever.
So there was a base of some
sort. Yeah, it was a base of some sort. And you turn back and look, and you could see the... And there was a loudspeaker. It was almost like a Grand Central Station. You could hear... just information being
like schedule of train schedules or something like
that and just general information
okay.
being spoken and
English?
Yeah, it was English and I remember lots of times seeing people and in just the one piece kind of jumpsuit kind mm-hmm. of things with flags from several different countries okay. on their shoulders.
Any other badges or insignias that you can recall?
Yeah, there were several insignias, some with, you know, triangle shape with a circle in it, a circle going around it that is like a dragon or a serpent of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. I remember that. It was a black patch. With the delta shape, may have been yellow or something. It was those colors would uh-huh. stand out from black.
Uh-huh.
I kind of remember seeing that several times.
Uh-huh. And the jumpsuits they were wearing, were they colored or?
Yeah, different colors.
Different colors.
Yeah, okay. Different people wearing different colors. I guess they had different jobs or whatever.
Right, but international.
I don't remember any of them having any lanyards with name tags or anything like that.
No.
I guess everything was biometric.
Did they communicate verbally, or did you sense that they were communicating other means too?
No, they were walking around talking to each other. Mm-hmm. I think they had to have a sense of community or a sense of social, so morale doesn't break down or whatnot.
Right.
But I don't know where this was.
I was just going to ask you that if you knew what
I have no idea. But I remember going there, coming out of that a couple times.
To that same place.
Yeah, because I remember coming out a couple times, seeing, looking out, and different times seeing different groups of people out by that little water area. I mean, there was steam coming out. It was like...
Were you there in the physical, or were you just remote viewing it? Did you actually...
No, I was physically
there. You were physically there.
Yeah.
Right, so you're aware of your body and you could interact with everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, just to go back, because I'm trying to... So these portals, these stargates that they started opening up, so they were actually transferring information, materials...
People.
And how long do you feel like this has been going on?
Since at least the 50s.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. And
I know that... something happened to where a lot of them stopped working because they started retapping a lot of us trying to that had experience in locating them. A lot of them they were trying to, I guess something happened where a lot of some of these, I guess people, you call them cabal or whatever, some of these people were like trying to like get out, leave.
Right.
I guess they didn't have anywhere here that they felt safe to hide out. And they were asking, there were like groups of us that were like pulled onto craft.